Hello and welcome to episode 273 of the Talk Nintendo podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Casey Gibson, and joining me this fine evening, I think he has a hangover still from that heartbreaking Nebraska loss because his noodle hurts tonight. It's the one and only Mr. Perry Burkham.
You know what my favorite kind of chip is?
A nacho chip?
You know. Corn chip.
Ooh, yeah. Missed that one. It was right in front of my eyes.
How's it going, Case?
Not too bad, not too bad. You're feeling a little under the weather, but you're trooping it out for us.
I am, yes.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Balix.
And speaking of Balix.
Oh, before you introduce him.
Him.
We don't have to.
We have the best. So in the Discord, Brent came up with, he said Alex, the axe, because of all the segments that Alex has axed on here. Kulafi.
Balix,
so
the
I realized we call him El Axe Kulafi. Like
L-axe.
In Hispanic, El Axe, like the axe, El Axe,
like El Barto.
Pretty good, exactly. But El Axe, Alex, El Axe.
Gotcha.
Hello, El Axe.
Nice segment you got there. Would be a shame if someone axed it. And then the little guitar stinger. Dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, I'll need to put that in. I know Casey's editing.
Nope. You already just said you would edit for me. Thank you.
No, I didn't.
Yep.
I didn't.
Yeah. Everyone's going to be getting an early Christmas gift because, A, we've got the holiday jingle jangles, right? That we just started
this week,
which is beautiful. And also, they're going to get this episode a day early.
Woo!
I'm going up north.
Going up north. Well, Merry Christmas indeed, y'all.
Yes, yeah, and the best thing is I've heard there's been some flurries up north. I can't wait, dude. A little snow.
What if you get in a car wreck and die?
At least it was up in the snow.
He died doing what he loved.
Eating an egg sandwich in the snow. I can't wait, dude. I've told Caitlin I'm going to wake up every morning and eat an egg sandwich, pretty much. It's just going to happen. They're so good.
From where? Where's your place?
Anywhere. Okay. Any deli in New York is pretty much great. But I'll probably
Anytown, USA, Balix.
I mean, I'll probably go revisit, you know, the local ones that in good old Green Lawn.
Now that's a good name for a town, I tell you what.
Yep. We've only got the lawns that are the greenest.
Is that Green Lawn, New York, Massachusetts?
Yeah.
Sweet St. Augustine.
Yes, this is Long Island, Green Lawn, Texas.
Massachusetts.
Long Island, Green Lawn, Texas? Is that what you just said? Yep. Long Island, Green Lawn, Texas, Massachusetts. Yep.
There it is. There's the episode
spent a month
name.
There one night.
But yeah, it should be a good fun trip. We can get right into food talk, I guess. We all right,
I'm going to say it. Right. I had KFC. I had a bucket of chicken today for lunch.
Just you, the whole bucket?
Did
you say
no, it was between me and my family.
Well, last time I heard you had food for you and your family, you said you ate all the eggs.
That's true. But that's because they snoozed and they lose.
Yeah.
No,
well, it could have been a similar situation.
It could have been, but
you're like,
it wasn't.
There's a reason I get the bucket of chicken at midnight.
I haven't gotten a bucket of chicken for a year, probably. And is fried just classic Kentucky Fried Chicken. That is a delicious, delicious recipe and spice set of spices. The original crispy.
They're famous.
It's so good. I love KFC chicken.
Dude, I had a chicken little like 2 weeks ago, and boy, did it just hit the spot. You know what I mean?
Though they are inconsistent, I think. Like because you can get chicken littles that like aren't necessarily a great piece of chicken meat. Like they might be a little fatty or a little whatever, a little muscly or whatever. But when they do like 80% of the time, they are really, really good. And you just get the plain ones. Right? You just get the plain with
the plain Janes. I mean they put mayo on there and stuff.
Yeah, mayo and a pickle.
Yeah. with just like a classic breaded.
So let's see, a mayo chicken and a pickle from on a chicken tender from KFC. That has to be Josh's favorite thing ever.
Well, yeah, he loves a good BBQ sandwich from KFC, and
yes,
you know,
he does.
He won't let anyone BBQ not hear about it.
Yes. Anyway, that's my spiel. I'm on KFC.
I'm on Google right now looking at Chicken Littles because I assumed it was a Southern thing and not just a KFC thing I could get from my KFC down the street.
No,
and
yeah,
it's just a chicken sandwich.
Oh yeah, it's just it's a Chicken Little, duh, dude. It's a little one.
Okay.
But what you do is you get the meal, right? And like when I'm out working, like I don't usually want to eat like a ton of food, you know? So like a Chicken Little is perfect because it's just that. It's just a little tiny chicken sandwich. And then if you're feeling a little zealous, you know what I mean? You can go ahead and get the meal. They give you two with some fries and a drink. And it's like $6.
Mm.
So it's like it hits that good price point and also like not a ton of food. I'm going to be feeling horrible, you know, level.
Okay. Okay.
It's the perfect meal.
I really appreciate the fact that you, Casey, order a very responsible amount of fast food whenever you get fast food.
That is like true. I do not do that.
Well, neither do I. I'm a gourmand, quantity over quality type.
That could be the title name. What was it? I'm a gourmand.
A gourmand.
Yeah. Great. Well, when I'm working, I try and do a little bit, right? Because I don't want to be moving around and feel like I got to puke, but. If we're getting some food for home, you know, I'll go a little harder. I'll pig out a little bit more, but yeah.
You know what? I'm going to say one more shout out because I thought it was interesting before Balak. Sorry.
Mm.
So when I got married like 9 years ago, like I remember like I had like the McRib and I remember it was really good. I liked the McRib. And then I remember I was like, I realized I don't like this at all.
The McRib?
So, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was okay. So for like nine years,
How quick was this? You liked it but didn't like it.
I don't know, like a month. Maybe I overate them or something. I don't know what happened.
Well, I did have one twice a day for 3 weeks straight.
But I just you know, the other day we were over there, and I was ordering, and you know it just you know that big huge rib. With the delicious barbecue sauce and that big, you know, and I just saw it and I was like, you know what? That actually sounds really, really good. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it another try because like, why not? You know? And you know, they have the onions and the pickles and it's delicious. So I got it and it was delicious. And I'm back on the McRib. And I'm not having three of them a day for 2 weeks. I'm
not
pacing
yet,
myself.
You aren't. It's a slow burn,
one,
you know? Yeah. You start out
every moonshine.
Exactly. You start out one every moonshine, then all of a sudden it's twice a week, and next thing you know, you're going every day, Perry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like, sir, we haven't done a supersize. I said supersize me. Dang it. But I
sir,
did do
since that documentary. We are no longer allowed to do that.
I used to supersize for sure. I will say though, I did arguably the fattest thing I've ever done in my whole entire life this week.
Oh boy.
It was Sunday around 6 p.m. and Kate and I were putting up the old Christmas lights. Pretty much Caitlin was decorating. I was watching football and there whenever she needed a hand for high things. I'm not very tall, but I do have height over her. And I was like, man, I've been feeling like a donut for days. But I also did not want to leave the house at all. So I Grubhubbed a dozen donuts.
Wow.
And it cost me $27.
Oh my goodness gracious.
That's a typical Grubhub, to be honest.
Wow.
Like
late
night McDonald's will be a very similar price range.
You know what it is? It was, they upcharge, like, so I got also Krispy Kreme's a bunch of dumb idiots. I did an assortment of, like, the dozen assortment, right? So, like,
yeah.
I want an assortment of donuts, but I like put on the note, like, give me two blueberry cake and two strawberry frosted with sprinkles. Caitlin likes the sprinkly ones. I like those cake ones. And then I was like, the other eight, you pick them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Open it up. We get the four donuts just right, and the other eight are all glazed.
What?
Now, don't get me wrong. I enjoy the glazed donut, but I did pay like $2 extra, if not more than that, for the assortment, and you didn't even give it to me, you jimbronis.
Wow. You know, I call it grade A pickleheads.
And then the funniest thing is the Grubhub lady or whatever. It might have been DoorDash. I don't know. I did it through Krispy Kreme. So whoever the heck they use. I see, like, I get a call. She's like, oh, like, you know, I'm out front. And, like, I'm in an apartment complex. So I'm like, oh, okay, like, I'll walk out, you know, out front kind of thing. And then I see her there parked in the handicap spot. And I, like, she's looking down. So I, like, walk over. Like, not walk up to her, but I'm, like, in the doorway or, the walkway, right, to where the apartments are.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm like, oh, and she's like, she just sticks the donut box out the window. Like, I had to go pick it up from her freaking curbside at the door. And I was like, Jesus Christ, man.
I paid $27 for this. Yeah, I'm like, you should have come into my apartment and served it to me.
Yeah, you should have rolled out the red carpet upon delivery. but yeah, so not a great experience in the sense that, you know, Karen couldn't leave the car. Her name was Karen. And then, the donuts, but I mean, the donuts were great. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed them. I'm still enjoying them. I think there's one left. I have had like 3 to 4 donuts a day. But yeah, it had to be done.
Yep. That'd be a great delivery service. Like an extravagant food delivery service with a red carpet.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We only,
that'd be amazing.
We only cater to A-list celebrities.
Yeah. But that can be you for $50.
Boom. Howdy ho, neighborinos.
I don't know. I don't really have much.
Thanksgiving.
I don't really have much interesting food stuff to talk about this week, but my biggest fat guy story from recent memory also involves Krispy Kreme.
As it always does.
So I went to San Francisco last year for cybersecurity convention for work. It was I had been there a few months. It was a good time.
Alex sounds so fancy in his like private life, you know.
I know.
So I was taking my Tesla to the airport.
Yeah.
After I got my triple security clearance check through, you know, I was smooth sailing from there.
Admiring my NFT and cryptocurrency collection.
Yeah, monitoring my hedge funds.
Yeah, I was checking out my Fidelity as I always do while the Tesla was driving itself.
Yes.
No, so I was in San Francisco for a cybersecurity conference, and dangerously enough, my hotel, which I think was like a Holiday Inn or something, was very close to both a Krispy Kreme and an In-N-Out Burger that were right next to each other.
By design.
And yeah, Krispy Kreme, I'm a big donut head, and I love my Krispy Kreme. It's my favorite donut place, even above all the $3 donut places in Boston that are all fancy. And I had like 12 donuts in 2 or 3 days there.
Oh,
and
easy.
And in and out like 2 or 3 times.
Dude, when you get those piping hot glazed donuts from Krispy Kreme, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
If that light's on. Oh, yeah. I'm running.
There's I forget which story. I heard someone say a story about like they're driving and they're like they like by the Krispy Kreme and they prayed and they're like, Lord, if that thing is it will be your will if that light is on, and they drove by and it wasn't on, so they just drove around the block a few times until it turned on.
Sometimes you make the will.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
That's amazing.
But yeah, Thanksgiving. I mean, it's big. I mean, I feasted. It's my feast week, and
I forgot.
It was amazing.
Yep, that's true. Thanksgiving,
and I made my jalapeno bacon corn mac and cheese.
I noticed I didn't get any in the mail this year.
No, you didn't. It was incredible. And you know what I did this year is in the cheese because like you make the pasta and then I make the cheese sauce on the side and combine it. So the cheese sauce is everything. And you know what I put? I melted some spicy, like pepper jack, happy cow cheese, you know, like those,
mm-hmm.
Oh my, those wedges. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It worked out incredible. And then I put two whole jalapenos in them. But I cut the jalapenos and I
Do you mean the jalapenos?
Yes, the jalapenos. I made a mistake and I used my fingers because
You stuck your finger right in there?
Well, normally my wife cuts and chops up the.
I thought normally my wife sticks her.
she cuts up into really tiny, tiny pieces. And then you can't have the seeds are the spicy, so we take the seeds out. So I just cut open the thing long ways, and I used my finger and scraped the seeds out, you know, and it worked out great. But then, like, later...
Oh, you didn't itch your eye or something.
Well, no, but, like, my fingers were burned. Like, there's... And like, you could see my finger right now. Like, my finger, to this day, it's still healing up because, like, it actually burned my skin.
I got a burn as well on my hand.
Oh, yeah?
Yep, dangle rope burn.
From what?
Donnie booked it to a squirrel, and I wasn't paying attention, so like I dropped the handle. So I grabbed the leash, but it's one of those like extendo. Oh, dude, it went right like on your my pinky. Not like at the base of the pinky, but like one notch up, right? One joint up.
Yep.
Oh, dude, it's actually pretty horrible.
Ouch, I'm sorry, man. That stinks.
Yeah.
Burns are the worst.
Yeah, it was one of those I was like, oh, this is going to hurt so bad. And it hasn't been bad, but there are definitely times where I'm like, ooh,
yeah.
One day it'll heal.
Well, I'm sorry about that. Was that on Thanksgiving?
No, that was, I don't know when that was. That was sometime last week.
But I gorged.
Oh, yeah.
So I had like 35 people in my... parents' house. It was
I think you'd be like, I ate 35 pieces of turkey.
I ate 35 eggs on Thanksgiving.
A light day for you, actually.
Yeah. Hey, I gotta build up my protein, bro.
How's the turkey? I don't know. I didn't have any. I just ate eggs all day.
I just ate the turkey's eggs.
I ate the turkey and the mac and cheese. I mean, I ate the eggs and the mac and cheese. That's it. The mac and cheese was my vegetables. Anyway, it's 17 minutes in.
Yeah.
17 minutes.
You should probably get rock and roll. I have a game to talk about. I'm excited to talk about.
We don't want to hear about it.
Well, you're going to get it.
All right. What is it then?
Clockwork Aquario.
It's a me, Aquario.
So, have you any of you fellers heard of this game?
No, but I'm looking it up on Steam now.
Okay. Well, this has a cool story. This game has never been released before, but it was developed and it was going to be released in 1993, before Alex was born. And,
that's true. That is between the times we were born.
Yes. And so I've heard of this game over the years. Like, it's kind of been legendary. Like, one of those games that it was because it was getting into the 3D fighting game era, and like the new graphics were coming out in the arcades and stuff. So they just shelved it, and it's been sitting there. And these are made by the Wonder Boy. Is it Wonder Boy? Monster Boy? Wonder Boy? Yeah, Wonder Boy people. And which I did
the boy people.
The boy people. Exactly. I heard like a few years, like back in 2017, Strictly Limited Games, which they produce physical games. They acquired the rights to this game, and they're going to release it. And so it's finally out. And so they're finally releasing it on Switch. And so I actually didn't really know that going into playing it. So I kind of got I guess I went in thinking it was just an old re-released arcade game. But I didn't realize it was never been released before.
Interesting.
But the cool thing is, cuz it feels like a hamster toss. Like, it feels like a game.
Oh yeah. I'm looking at the pictures of the art style, just all the colors and
it's
stuff.
Gorgeous.
Like,
it is
looks super awesome.
Very colorful.
Like, you play the game and I don't know what the story is at all.
I like the logo too.
Yeah, it's fun.
The O's,
it's a weird name, and it's a fun. I love the characters and everything. It's cool. But yeah, I mean, it definitely, it's a, you know, insert your tokens and play and then, like, you know, run out of lives and put, so it's definitely has that may I say, broken in a sense system. Unfortunately,
it's like a mobile game.
It is kind of like, but it's like, yeah, it's like meant to, like, it's like a pay to win game, you know, where you can just, you know,
well, I mean, I guess that was all arcades back in the day.
Yeah.
Essentially.
No,
right?
I know. Just... Absolutely. So it's just, it worked, you know, back then. I think that it's just that part hasn't aged as especially well, but the cool thing is, let me just put this out there, the game is awesome. Very cool game. Just first of all, beautiful, sounds awesome. It's a fun platformer action game. You know, it's one of those games with those big juicy sprites, you know, just an action play, you know, like when you just, I love when the, as long as like everything, you know, it's, if it's designed around it, but mm-hmm. I love when the characters are big and like all the enemies are,
They look pretty big too.
Yeah,
right?
They're really cool. And like, there's like these like fish head balloon things that you just pop and you'll get like, you know, everything is,
yeah,
just,
I'm looking at
like,
those.
There's tons and tons of things that you like, tons of just exploding things and like plus 200 and plus 400 and you can do combos.
You said this was supposed to be released in the arcades originally, right? That was
exactly
the game plan?
Yeah.
Okay, so that makes sense, right? So it had,
yeah,
big, juicy,
yes,
colorful, like, hey, look at me, come play me.
Exactly.
In a room full of tons of arcade cabinets, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, it's a really, you know, it's a fun game. And apparently, it's been really, because it obviously is a very chaotic week with Thanksgiving and getting ready for that and hosting and doing all that stuff. I had two Thanksgivings actually.
Well, look at this guy.
Because I got, you know, because I'm married.
Because I got two families.
I do. And. So I was playing it little by little every night before I was going to bed, and because that's the only time I only had time for that. But I kept playing. There's a training mode, and it's like it just plays the first two levels with the bosses at the end, and you have unlimited tries, and it's just a good way to learn the game and stuff. So I was playing that a bunch, and I'm going through all the other modes, and it's a game that takes like a half hour to beat, or like 20 minutes to half hour to beat, you know. If mm-hmm. you play it through, and it's pretty tough, but it's a good, you know, it's really fun. It's fun to go back to and play. It's like, it's kind of like a breath of fresh air. Like that's what it feels like. It's just like jump in, fun visuals, fun music, just simple gameplay. What you'd want out of an action platformer, retro feel, like literally not even you can call it a retro, but it's an actual, actual 1993,
yeah, of,
you know,
the
feel
of
it.
The period.
Yeah, it's not like replicating it. It is it. So it's really fun going to that. And yeah, it's aged incredibly well. And it's really fun. And I love the story too. And I think that's like, it's interesting because I didn't know that, and I played it and I was like, oh yeah, like this is a pretty cool arcade game. And it was fun. And I was like, yeah, like this is cool. And then I learned that it's never been released, and it just has like, it's a very fun little fact to learn about the game. And it's interesting, right? Because it's like, does that matter at all? You know, like there's that like,
I think, do you need to know
about the developers? Like that's such a fun thing about like reviews. Like when you're reviewing a game, does anything about the developer matter at all?
Context is interesting.
Sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it adds like a real nice story to it, right? Like, I mean,
yeah,
how cool is it that you get to play
a brand new
game from that long ago?
Well, this is just like, it's like for me, and this is a real thing, it's like one of my like some of my favorite like artists or musical artists or bands, or you know, like there's a reason, like there's some songs that they sing or some arrangements that they have that I would never listen to this if it wasn't them. Like,
yeah, it wasn't my boys.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't mean that as like it's just one of those things where the context absolutely matters, where I know who this person is and what they've done, and so I have a respect for them or something like that. Like
I mean,
I
look
just,
at games like from Game Freak, right? Like any game they do that isn't Pokemon instantly is like on the map because they're the Pokemon people, you know? Right?
Yeah.
Like no matter what, like I forget the elephant
Tembo
game, right? And
Tembo.
Then they did the Pocket Jockey. Like those games, like where if they were just some other jockey. Random developer.
That game was good. I'm sorry to interrupt, but it was really good.
Yeah, no, I like that game as well. But what I'm saying is, like, those two probably fly way more under the radar if it isn't for Game Freak. So I definitely think it helps.
Right. And it's just, it's an interesting, absolutely. And it's one of those things where I could look at it, I could definitely see very clearly the two points of view, where a video game should obviously stand on its own. And if it's coming out in 2021 and as a new game, and I think it's $20, you know, and then it should stand. I mean, I who wouldn't understand the idea that it should be held up to the standards of other games releasing right now, blah, blah, blah. Like, that obviously makes sense. And if you want that point of view, if you have that point of view, that makes sense to me. And if, you know, but it's like, if you have value in history of something, and if you think that's really cool, and I see that as well. Like, I see both sides, like, where, like, if I'm reading a review and they go, yeah, this game is from the makers of this. And it's like, well, I don't care about that. Like, what's that supposed to mean? You know, like, am I supposed to compare it to that now?
I think it lets you sort of know the quality you might expect from a project, right? Where if you
absolutely
go, hey, these are the guys that did Dark Souls, you instantly go, okay, like, well, if it was that, you might think it's going to be a hard game, but you're going to go, the production value and the gameplay is going to probably be pretty damn good.
Absolutely.
You know, it's from the creators of Balan Wonderworld, you'd probably be like,
yeah, absolutely. And I just think it's really, and sorry, I hope I'm trying to say that I totally get both sides, and I don't disagree with either. And with this game, I think it's really fun knowing the history, and on top of it, it's a really fun, cool game. And it's really simple, and you have a very simple get to the level, face the boss, and go on, and it's just fun.
How much was this game?
I think it's $19.99. I think so, because I think I was talking with Jules about it, and he looked it up. Because they sent us a code, so gotcha. It's not out yet.
Oh, look at this guy!
Yeah, you know,
gets a code, doesn't even offer it up to the boys. He just takes it.
I reached out for it, so
mm-hmm. I'm looking at the. I've been sort of entranced by the footage as you've been talking about it, because its sprite work looks really nice, and it almost reminds me of You ever play the Astro Boy game on GBA?
No, I've heard really good things about that, though.
It is an action arcade-y beat-em-up platformer made by Treasure for the GBA. Right. Sort of niche in its time, but honestly, I think it's one of the very best Game Boy Advance games. And the art style looks very similar. And in fact, the gameplay looks kind of similar, too. It does remind me a little bit of something Treasure would make.
Sure.
So it is $19.99, by the way. Also, Perry, this releases on December 14th. Are we allowed to speak about it this early?
We are, yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, they don't have an embargo. So yeah, I'm looking at that. It is. And again, I love almost everything about it, you know. The only thing I don't like about it is the only thing it hasn't aged is the arcade structure. But I say that about any game. I just think because it's like, it messes with the balancing but I guess you go through and you play it, and it's just, and it does offer a lot of options. Like, it does offer, like, you unlock arcade mode after you do some of the modes, and you know, you can play it through as a standard game. So it's very well balanced. But if you guys know what I mean about just, like, it doesn't feel good to, like, well, put, like, virtual quarters in to a machine. Like, it's like, well, I can just die as many times as I want, so I don't feel like I'm really, even though the game's really cool, but maybe you guys don't have that feeling, but it's just, to me, that's the only thing I don't like. But again, it's not a big deal. So
it's a valid feeling. It's kind of like sort of the, how do you approach this given its very unique circumstances? And I kind of feel the same way about Star Fox 2, which was sort of, some people really liked it, some people weren't a big fan of it when it came out.
Yeah, what a great comparison. Reference. Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like, I played it and I'm like, I don't really enjoy this, but I'm really glad I get to play it.
Yeah, it gives you good, like, historical reference, especially, like, talking on podcasts, right? Like, to be able to bring it up in this exact situation, you know? So I think it's always like good to play older games, even if, you know, they're not necessarily the most fun to current day, you know?
Yeah, sure. Exactly. But man, dude, that Astro Boy looks awesome. I'll need
it's so good.
That looks great. Yeah. I'm watching this level where they're going through like the Arctic and like it's like a shoot 'em up section.
It's like partially shoot 'em up, partially Mega Man.
Love it.
Beat 'em up. Yeah. Wow, so good.
Cool.
Boom.
Anyway, that's that.
That
and speaking of were you making a joke when you're talking about taking up codes?
Because
of your next game.
What do you mean? Well, this was an unsolicited code, which is the best, especially when it's from what we've heard on this show, a good game,
very good.
And that code,
Balan Wonderworld
Door, not Balan.
Great name.
Scabada boom. Yes. Mm-hmm. So this game, Alex had talked about it, at this point, a couple weeks back. It was, you know, out. Did you play it on PlayStation or on PC?
So I played it on Xbox. It came out on Xbox and PC first, and then the PlayStation and Switch releases were November 23rd, I think.
Mm. Gotcha. Yeah, I figured. I'm like, of course, the one I didn't say is what he played on. but yeah, so I got the Switch for the code. It is actually out now, so you can go pick it up. It is $19.99, but this is a game, again, you know, Alex talked a little bit about it. It's sort of like a Zelda game, right, where, you know, you're going around, you're killing enemies and figuring out little puzzles and stuff, but what's cool is you collect... I believe they call them souls, as you kill enemies and do stuff around the world. And then you can use those to upgrade your character. And I will say I've played about like an hour and change, so I haven't played a ton, but enough to get a feel for it. And, you know, you go in there and you can spend it on upgrades. So at least to me right now, what's available is you'd use those souls to upgrade like your strength, which obviously just increases your damage. You can upgrade your like dexterity, which makes you faster and able to dodge quicker. Magic increases magic damage and ranged stuff. And then I think there's agility. These names might be different, but it makes your combos quicker. So those are the four options. I'm not sure what else unlocks. I'd imagine you could probably get some more unlocks as it goes, because I think you're going to probably get more weapons and stuff, because right now I'm equipped with a sword and a bow and arrow. So you get in there. What's cool is you got a nice beautiful dodge roll. Dodge rolls are always amazing in games like this. I don't think you could ever go wrong, like slap a dodge roll in there, baby. But yeah, the combat feels good, because so far the enemies I've run into, like they all have different attack patterns, you know, and again, I'm about an hour in, so and maybe Alex can touch upon this. But so far, like there's been a solid amount of different enemy types, nothing too overpowering. But like I said, they each have their own sort of cadence when it comes to attacking. Like you've got this one guy who rolls at you and you got to dodge out of the way, and then he hits into the wall and like. Sort of like turtles, right? He falls on his back because essentially he's got a big mask, so you can't attack him from the front. So you wait till he hits the wall, and then you can attack him, kind of thing. There are just like sort of weak enemies that just one hit. Some different enemies that sort of have, again, just sort of different cadence on when they attack, so you can't just mindlessly just run into enemies and not necessarily think about it without, you know, probably getting hit at least a few times. But the boss, I guess I've faced... I think like they gave you sort of like an intro boss, which just sort of, you know, pretty easy. But one other boss, and first off, it looks amazing, like super cool design. And then the fight was cool too, because it had like, again, it wasn't just your standard sort of like hack and slash, but you know, they've got different abilities that, you know, chase you around with lasers or you know, projectiles that you have to dodge. And it seems like it's sort of got the groundworks to sort of build upon that and maybe not be like a super duper difficult game, but definitely have like a nice rock hard like challenge to it where you're not just going to, again, mindlessly sort of just, you know, plowing through enemies. As I've been exploring, you get like a couple different like areas where portals open up, and it's sort of like a kill room, right? Where you just got sort of a flood of enemies coming out. But I like those because so far it's not like they're like every 2 seconds, you know? So when I got one, I was like, all right, let's kill some enemies and pick up some souls here so we could start working on upgrading. But some other cool things, I guess, just to touch on early in the early goings. You actually have these like health pots, like literally like soil in a pot, and you plant a seed in there, and then it grows a health plant that heals you. And what's cool is at first I'm like, oh, okay, like so you find these seeds around, and then you can plant them and heal up, and sort of a cool little like you need two to tango. But what was something I didn't expect was actually that the flowers regrow. So later on, if you're running through that area again, you'll be able to heal. So it's sort of nice that it's not like a one-time use on the seed, that it's actually
that is cool.
Something you're permanently putting there. And then as you, you know, run by it again, you can, yeah, reuse it. I thought that was pretty clever.
One thing I really appreciate about it is it does take, I think, very clear influence from Dark Souls, where it's using the souls. It's got sort of that gothic-y setting. It's got the dodge mm-hmm. roll. But it takes that stuff and makes a more friendly, accessible version of those mechanics. So when you die, you don't drop your souls. Which I talked about some of this a few weeks ago. And there aren't really penalties for dying. So I think it gets pretty challenging, even fairly early on. But the way it balances that is making it easy to restart and make it feel like there's no consequence and you can play fairly openly. That's been my experience, Casey. You might be too early to fully see that, but maybe you've seen some of that.
Yeah, I have died once or twice. And yeah, at first I'm like, it's a really cool death screen comes up. And it's like, ooh. And then, yeah, you just get sort of portaled back to the most recent door you went through. Because essentially they have these like portals, the doors, that sort of take you back to like the hub area. And then that's where you could sort of heal up and upgrade and stuff. So I guess you save every time you go through a door, but you'll just get sent back to the most recent door. And then, yeah, your progress is not erased. So, yeah, that was a nice thing because I was like, I wonder if I'll have to go reopen that lever again. Because
it's like Dread
so far,
when
yeah,
you face the
yep.
Emmys.
The Emmys, yeah, it's just right there. Because, yeah, a lot of it's actually been sort of cool because it's like, you're revisiting and like a lot of like, oh, that ladder's not down, I can't get there. But then you work your way and then, oh, now I've opened that lever to drop the ladder. And now I could jump down, go back to home base real quick. And then when I come back, I don't have to go all the way around. Right now, I've got a quick little shortcut to where I was. So it seems like they're opening up different easy ways to sort of navigate through the areas after you've already been through there once, you know. Which I think is cool, especially as you're going, you know, sort of revisiting there. And then one sort of cool thing I would say also is I found like a little secret. And I think Alex might even talk about it. Essentially, it's like a heart piece, right? You find this shrine and then they're like, hey, you need to find like 4 of these and then you're upgrade your health, essentially. But what was cool was like hidden behind a building. So like I happened to go there and then all of a sudden the camera did like a big shift. And then now I'm seeing behind the building where I wouldn't have seen otherwise. And there's like a series of ladders that drop down. Right. So I just thought it was sort of cool. Like not only was it nice and fun to see, like find the secret area, but like to see the cool camera shift to reveal, you know, what you wouldn't have seen if you didn't sort of shimmy your way back there. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then just as far as the performance on the Switch, I've been playing docked on the TV screen and it's not horrible. Definitely not 60 frames per second. And definitely like times where it, I don't want to say it gets like super choppy or anything, but a little like, you know, not running flawlessly, let's say, not a problem, you know, nothing I've encountered where it's like, you know, like, oh my gosh, you know. But again, we're, you know, playing on PlayStation 5 and on the PC and stuff, you get spoiled to this, the 60 frames. So when it drops back down, you know, it's sort of noticeable. Mm-hmm. Again, not bad. It has not hindered the experience at all, but I bet you it runs much better on Xbox and PlayStation.
It does run really well on Xbox. I'm guessing it was 60.
Yeah, see, it definitely, I'm going to see if I could see it real quick, but I'm pretty sure this is 30 at best.
So it sounds like it's playable, if not ideal, which, I mean, that's the Switch story. And sometimes the best of cases with games coming out now. Mm. But it sounds like you like it. Do you think you're going to stick with it?
Yes and no. So I'm a turd lately, and I feel like I've just, like, I play these games and I like them and I want to play more, and then I don't end up necessarily doing that. But I am going on that trip, so I do foresee me playing more of it, just because I'll be, you know, between the plane, the flights up and back and down, and then just sort of any downtime, you know, on a trip, I, you know, won't have a PC or anything, so I'll probably be playing Shin Megami and probably be playing more of this because... Yeah, it is fun. I really, like you said, the visuals really cool, and so far the combat's a lot of fun. So I don't see why I wouldn't play more. Will I play it all the way to the end? I don't know. I'm gonna, you know, hopefully it does grab me, and maybe I'll play a ton on this little break I got here. But yeah.
Do me one favor, if you do keep playing it, I recommend you go to the first major boss, which should only be an hour or two more. Mm-hmm. From you, the structure is there's like four or five major bosses.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I talked to the guy who sort of laid that, like, the what my plan of action will be.
Yeah, it's like, yep. It's like, it's the
a witch,
the structure
of
the game. Yes, I want you to fight
at least
her,
get through there,
and then I think you'll have a better idea of if the game is worth sticking it out for or not for you. For me, it's one of my favorites of the year, but obviously mileage may vary.
Yeah, no, I think I can commit to that, because like I said, whether being on the plane and stuff, you know, I'll have time to kill. So, and just a real quick, I did search to see, and it looks like so at least one review was saying, yeah, it's 30 FPS versus 60 on other platforms. And yeah, it's, like I said, it's not bad. It's just, it's one of those things, we've been so spoiled, you know? Yeah, you do get that for sure. And with the trip, I'll be able to speak a little bit more on how it runs in handheld too. So maybe we'll get a little update next week.
Excellent. I'm really happy.
It ain't happening.
I'm really happy that you've been playing it. It's a really good time. And everything you're saying about the performance makes me more excited for the Steam Deck, because I have all these indies on Steam, and I'm just like, I do not have to pay the Switch tax again once this comes out, because I'm going to be able to get
Switch
60.
Switch FPS 2 tax. The FPS tax, playing on the Switch, give us 30 frames.
You got to give up some of your frames.
You give up 30 and you keep 30.
Nice. It's Black Friday sale week, so obviously I have a blast of games to talk about.
You dirty dog. Well, why don't you hit us with the quick bites first, and then hit us with the
beefy
boy.
It doesn't have to be Black Friday for you to have a blast of games.
Yeah.
It just needs to be
Friday. It's a day.
Yeah.
Balak's blast.
A BB.
Yeah, we can say this is quick bites. Quick bites. Well, will they actually be quick bites in practice? We'll see, but we'll call them
Doubt
quick
it.
Bites. I ended up finishing Pokemon Shining Pearl. I think I had gotten to like seven gyms. It took me maybe 20 hours, I think, to beat. And Neil and Brian on Twitter had told me, when I was sort of complaining about the game some, that the Elite Four and Champion get like pretty challenging. And I'm like, okay, we'll see, because I was pretty bored with the difficulty at that point.
We'll see about that.
So they were right. The Elite Four and Champion both have a huge level spike compared to the 8 gyms and even the Victory Road before it, which is the sort of the final challenge dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
You go from like level 50 at the 8th gym to high 50s to mid 60s in the Elite Four, which isn't the worst thing in the world, except the game had been so ridiculously easy up until that point that by the time I got to the Elite Four, I was completely unprepared. And I barely cared in the first place.
Completely unprepared man.
That's me. That's cute. So I ended up just running through the Elite Four, getting all my Pokemon fainted, like as in losing, then just running through for the XP over and over again until I ended up beating the champion finally.
That's interesting. That's a good way, I guess, to grind it out, right?
Because that's where all the XP was.
Yeah, that's smart. How many times did you have to run through that to get sort of where you had to be?
4 or 5 from where I was at.
And how long does that take? Like one run of that?
20 minutes, maybe. Okay. I had turned off battle animations because I'm just like,
what a monster!
You want to know how I feel about this Pokemon game? I've never turned off battle animations before this game. I got to the post game and I got to the island that you sort of unlock, you sort of had in the previous games. And I'm like, I don't really know if I actually want to play this anymore. So I went to Serebii, which is the big Pokemon fan site. And I was like, what's the post game look like? Cause I just spoiled myself. I'm like, I don't even care that much. There's barely anything that wasn't in the original games. And I expected, so like Arceus, Shaymin, and Darkrai, which are sort of the event Pokemon of that game, which each had their own encounters built in. I thought, like, you know, it would be coolest if those were integrated into the game better. Nope. Totally the exact same post game, more or less. Than the originals, except there's these caves where you can sort of capture legendary Pokemon, and I was just like, I don't care, and then I stopped playing. So that was Shining Pearl. Big old dud of a game for me. My biggest disappointment of the year for sure.
You should have gotten Brilliant Diamond.
Yeah, maybe I would have liked it better.
You made a mistake.
That's funny.
That's
disappointing,
something?
Though. That sucks, man. I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm glad I can save you two from having to play it.
Well, I'll just buy your copy. Although, like I said, I might still that might still be a Christmas game, because for me, I feel like what I want out of a Pokemon game is probably exactly what they're dishing up, that nothingness, that it's the same every time, you know? It's like the same thing I complain about, how they don't change anything, you know? Like, it'll be like, oh, comfort food, and I'm part of the problem, I guess.
Myself.
The thing for me is, I really like Diamond and Pearl back in the day, you know? Like, so for me, it'll just be like a total nostalgic, you know, meal of a game.
And obviously there's no such thing as objectivity when it comes to quality and this kind of thing. Some people really like it. Some people don't like it. I think our review was pretty positive, and I think Neil liked it too. So people are liking it. Some Pokemon people are really disliking it. It seems like it's kind of all over the place. I just ended up on the negative side. I think Stressa really liked it too, or likes it as of last checked in. I also broke out the Hori Switchpad Pro finally. Ooh. Which is, that's the thing that it's basically an Xbox controller. It's not an Xbox controller, but it's shaped like two halves of an Xbox controller, and it clips on to your Switch. So to play with like a real controller feel and handheld, it's got the two triggers. It's got like a nice ergonomic feel. It's got has a couple bonus buttons on the back of the controller, though I haven't really used those yet. And I gotta say, I needed this thing desperately, and I'm so glad I have it now, because I don't have hand pain playing Switch anymore, or wrist pain, and I was really feeling it with the regular Joy-Cons. And now I can have regular game sessions and I'm just like, oh, I feel totally fine. Or maybe like the tiniest bit of discomfort after a few hours, but that's just how things have been. But it's like, it's not, this is such an enormous step up for me over the regular Joy-Cons that like, I don't think I'm going to go back to the regular Joy-Cons. It's really nice to have that controller feel. The only downside is that there's no rumble on it. So you're playing no rumble, which sucks, but I kind of was willing to make the trade-off.
I feel like it's also one of those things when you start playing, you probably end up like even forgetting about the rumble, you know? Like I doubt there'd be like an impactful moment in the game where you're just like, oh, if only the controller rumbled, you know, like this would have been so much better, you know? But they do look nice and comfy. Hori makes some good stuff. I've got the Hori playstand. I swear, that's like the best little contraption I've ever bought.
What is it?
The Hori playstand. Essentially, it's just like I use it sometimes even for like my phone or something. But it's like if you're playing in handheld, well, if you're playing with no TV but didn't want to play in handheld, it's like props the Switch up. But you can also do it in like the Tate mode or whatever, the tape mode, whatever you want to call it, for like arcade games. Yeah, it's a nice little who dicker.
Oh, that's nice. If anyone has an OLED and they're looking for a more ergonomic option after I'm talking about it, I recommend being careful with what you go with, because the OLED is a slightly larger size than the regular Switch. And I think some of the previously made contraptions, like the ones that are like one piece and fit the Switch inside of it, won't work because of the slightly different size. But the Hori Switchpad Pro, because it's two pieces that just slot in like Joy-Cons, that works. So just worth knowing. But strong recommendation on my part. And then there was the Black Friday eShop sale. I got a ton of stuff. Like a lot, because I played Death's Door, loved it. And then I played Hollow Knight, and then those two games put together really started a whole indie renaissance for me.
Did you like Hollow Knight? I forget. I'm just kidding.
Man, so I got the vinyl in yesterday.
Nerd!
I got a plush in of the Hollow Knight, and an art book from two of them from Fangamer.
Boys all in.
Man, I love that darn game. But I'm, those two games, Death's Door led to Hollow Knight, which sort of made me like, oh, I really want to play a lot more indie games, was kind of the main sort of thing. Because all I'd been playing this year was AAA stuff. And
you
it's
play
just
Pokemon,
been nice.
Then
Triple
you play.
B only
yeah.
plays AAA.
Yeah. Now he's a Triple I boy.
Yeah.
Triple B O I I I.
A couple of the small ones I'm going to talk about before I talk about sort of the main one that I've been digging into. One's called A Short Hike, which is, it was announced and dropped the Switch version for one of those Indie World presentations. It's like $7.99. You're a little bird. I forget her name. She's on an she goes to an island with I think her aunt, and your goal is just to go up a mountain. That's the whole point of the game, is just go up a mountain. And the way the game's structured is you're on an island. It has this gorgeous Animal Crossing Wild World Nintendo DS aesthetic to it, where you know how DS games looked both smooth and pixely?
Yep, yeah, it was a magical time.
Yeah, it captures, it's the only indie game I've seen, or the only game in general, to intentionally recapture that art style. And it's very clearly pursuing Animal Crossing, because there is fishing as one of the, there's a bunch of mini games spread out. Fishing is one of them. And the fish are just like the Black Shadow Animal Crossing fish, like straight up no differences. And the stars where you dig are the Animal Crossing stars. so close that I'm like surprised that there's been no legal issues.
I was gonna say, they haven't gotten a memo in the mail from Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So the whole thing takes place on an island, and you're trying to go up this mountain to the top of the mountain, and you're meeting all these animal characters, and the animal characters give you little tasks like collect 15 shells, or do you want to buy this thing for 40 coins? Or do you want to play volleyball? So there's a lot of little micro side quests, but for the most part, it's just a small 3D platformer where you're trying to climb up the mountain. Normally you just have one jump, but then towards the end of, or as you go through the game, you get these things called golden feathers, which are additional jumps. And I think you need like 7 or 8 or 9 to actually get all the way up the mountain. And the way you get those feathers is you either collect coins and then buy the feathers, or you find them in the world, or you do the mini games and they'll give you feathers. The whole thing took me about 45 minutes to beat, which makes sense because it was like $7.99 or I think 4 or 5 during the Black Friday sale. And it was just a very pleasant, chill $5 Animal Crossing game with an art style that's very nostalgic to me. So.
Mm. You know what? I love a good little thing. Quick bite of a game.
It's very, very emotional game too.
Did you play it, Perry, or are you being silly?
Oh yeah.
Oh, you really did?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's a great game. Yeah.
I liked it. It's like, I don't necessarily think it's gonna stick around in my brain forever, but it's like, oh, that was a nice little hour I spent.
Mm-hmm. But that's perfect though. Sometimes you know you get those little, because I mean. I especially feel it playing RPGs a lot, right? Like, you don't see the end necessarily at all. Well, Alex, like, I see the end of all games I play.
I see but the end of games that I don't play.
Yeah, for the typical Joe, or the typical Jim, if you will, you know, you don't always see those end of the game. So sometimes when you get that nice little, I can start this and finish this and feel good about it, you know? Those games are great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was actually one of the reasons why I've been playing so many indie games, is I actually haven't been in the mood to commit to games for 30 hours lately. something I can go in and finish in 2 or 3 or even 10 at the very long end. It's just like, it's just nice.
I thought you were going to say 2 or 3 sessions. Experience. And I was going to say, yeah, but that for you, that could still be a 30-hour game.
Seriously. Yeah.
Yeah. So really cool thing. And then the last one I'm going to talk about is Tales of Iron, which is a game that was not on my radar until I think during like the Black Friday sale. It is a hardcore 2D action RPG starring mice. It has
the art style is awesome.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous. It's basically Dark Souls with rats. it has sort of a Game of Thronesy or Witcher setting, where you're the soon to be crowned Rat King, and as you're about to be crowned, the kingdom is attacked. A lot of people are violently killed. Kingdom's in ruins, and then you survive the attack. And then you basically start. And then you basically start from nothing as the Rat King on his empire of dirt, and you fight your way back up to defeat the Frog Kingdom that's invading. And it's very brutal and violent, and you get swords and you have shields, and you're doing sort of dodges that are effectively rolls. It's 2D. The maps are very like beat 'em up style, where it's like. Left to right, with sometimes there's stairs that will take you up or down. It's got like a marionette movement style to it too, that's a little weird to get used to, but the combat has a very satisfying brutality to it. The voiceover actor who does the voiceover sort of tells the story, because the mice sort of just make sounds, like squeaky sounds as they talk. Exactly. is Geralt from The Witcher's voice actor. And he does a great job. Yep. It's really awesome. Good. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard. I think it's like Death's Door or Hollow Knight, where it's like a really nice balanced difficulty.
Hard, but not brutal.
Hard, but fair. Like a good for example, us three, I think we could handle it fine. I'm guessing certain people like who aren't as experienced with games, maybe they wouldn't.
Like who? Can you name drop someone who couldn't handle it?
Josh.
A child. No, I just mean it's not like the perfect someone new to games, but if you play a lot of games, you'll handle it fine. Someone like Josh.
Casey, that's funny.
I love that Josh is the one of our listeners that will openly roast.
Yes. Oh yeah, well,
that's because he can openly roast us.
When he slings a bunch of dumb business, you got to bring him down a peg.
That's true. it's really good. I've only played a couple hours, but I've fought a couple bosses. It's got like the long health bars. You pick up new equipment as you go along. I intend to play more of it. It's on Switch. Cool. It's a new game, so it was like $18 marked off from 24. It's still on the expensive side for like relative to heavily discounted indie stuff. Yeah.
What made you pick it up?
I just thought the art style looked amazing.
Black Friday sale.
I was in the mood for my brutal indie games in a sad setting.
He was making it rain this last Friday.
With tears.
I did get a lot during the sale, and this was definitely one of them.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about how much you spent at poll time. I'm interested to get into that. But
yep.
Those were your quote-unquote quick bites, right?
Yeah, those were my quick bites, which I'm already exhausted talking about all of them. So this one might be shorter or might not be shorter.
This is actually the quick bite.
But this is one of the most interesting games I've played in a very long time, and it is called Kentucky Route Zero.
I remember seeing this one in one of the indie worlds and putting my name down as a possible reviewer, and then I feel like it didn't come out for so many more years on the Switch after that.
I think whoever did review it gave it like a 10 on the site, too.
So high praise, yeah. Dang.
High praise. So this is one that I've known about for a long time. It's not... The release schedule for this thing is very interesting too, which I'll get into for a second. But I didn't really know anything about it, other than it being really cool, and I think it was an adventure game, and that's all I knew about it. But I was having this sort of indie thing I've been going through, and
this stage of your life, this indie thing.
Going through an indie phase.
I am going through an indie phase, and I was
premarital
like, you know,
indie phase. Yes.
I think it's also going to be a post-marital indie phase, because I feel like I can only play so many 50-hour games once that sort of happens, and life sort of happens, and adulthood happens.
I bet you find a way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Kentucky Route Zero is an adventure game. It's a 2D episodic adventure game, was released on Switch all at once as the TV version. It was originally released as episodes on the PC from 2013 to 2020.
That's a long while.
Yeah, it was a Kickstarter game that the Kickstarter came out in 2011. The first episode was 2013, and then the rest of the episodes were released until early 2020 when the story was concluded. And this is wild because it is not a terribly long game. I'm on episode 4, I think, right now, and I've maybe spent 7 hours. So I feel bad for the people that played episode 1, really loved it, and had to wait for 7 years
to play
all of it. But it's really something. So the premise of the game is you are a trucker named Conway who works for an antique shop, and for his final delivery, he's trying to take something to Dogwood Ave or something, or Dogville Ave or something like that.
That's my kind of ville.
And you're in Kentucky, I believe, when the game starts, hence Kentucky Route Zero. And the whole game is about him trying to accomplish this delivery. But the tone is very strange, at least relative to a lot of video games. Because it starts you off at a gas station, and you meet this strange character, and he tells you some, like, abstract things, and it's very weird. And then you're meeting all these different characters across the Deep South, Middle America, folksy type area. Like, there's some beautiful folk music playing, and you're hearing about, like, these miners who were sort of, like, abused in their workplace, and were using coin, like, scripts, basically.
Miners, like M-I-N-E-R-S?
Yes, sorry, I should have been specific since I was using that language. But yes, mining town.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Okay, yeah. But you're sort of hearing all this, like, it's very folksy and stuff, but at the same time, in order to get the package to its destination, you have to go down the Zero, which is a highway that seems to take place in space, kind of, or another alternate dimension. So you have folksy, I think the painter's name is like Norman Rockwell, who does all those like small town paintings.
Yeah, Norman Rockwell's the man.
Right, no. Yeah. I know I'm not like a big painting guy, but that's the exact tone of a lot of this game.
Very
but at
cool.
the same time, it has this cosmic sort of stuff going on too, where you don't really know exactly what's going on, and it's weird. Like Conway hurts his leg, and then you have to find a doctor. And then you drive in the deep night to find a doctor, and he's in a museum of, like, houses. So you go in the museum, and then there's a tent, and there's, like, a mobile home, and there's, like, a little cabin, and people live there, and it's, like, the middle of the night, and they're just talking to you, and no one questions this. And then you meet someone, and he has a big eagle friend, and then he flies you over to the forest, where the doctor is. So it's very strange and dreamlike, and like I don't always know what's happening, but there's a clear logic to it, and the story's going somewhere. So its writing is very like old novel, like yellowed pages type writing, which is very interesting because you don't normally see that kind of writing in a game. And it's typically like a 2D adventure style thing, but then as the episodes go on, there are like weird there are weird sort of scenes where you're watching a play in first person of a bar in a small town in the South, and then that ends up playing into the game. And then there's one where you pick up the phone and you're just listening to this very strange sort of automated phone call where the sound is only coming out of one of my headphone speakers. So it's very weird, but there's a logic to it. But it also takes that cosmic weirdness and fuses it with the small town folksy America, like folk music and sort of dying towns and a little bit of like Christianity and all this stuff. And it's a very earnest game. Like, it doesn't feel that pretentious, which is the most impressive thing about all of this.
I was going to say, I feel like those kind of games might get a little...
Sometimes a little indulgent, like some scenes will go on too long, and it seems like it was sort of the writing a little bit at the cost of the player experience. Like, I'm like, I'm ready to move on now. But that may just be because they were only releasing an episode every 2 years or so. It's wild. This thing's weird. And I think one of the people who responded to our favorite indie games called it one of their favorites ever. And then I think we gave it like a very high score, like a 10 or something. And I'm really glad to be playing it because I've never played something this weird but smart at the same time. And I've never played something that's tried to like so carefully capture old time Southern America and like Americana type stuff. And it's really interesting, and I'm gonna stick with it. I'm kind of going all over the place. Do you?
I think I have a physical.
If it came out, I was gonna say if it came out on physical copy, there's a 99.9% chance Jerry's got it in.
Well, I think they sent it to me.
Shelf.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Oh, like limited run.
I don't think it was limited run, but it was like
okay,
one of those companies.
Either way, I think it'd be. Perry, do you like adventure games?
I do.
I don't know.
But it's just like, I never, like, it has to be accompanied usually with fun gameplay.
Yeah.
It's definitely a story over game type thing. If you do have it, I think you might get more out of this than either me or Casey would, because you very much, you're not in the South, but you do live in, like, the small town, quiet America.
He is a man of the corn.
You are a man of the corn. So you might even get something out of this that I didn't. Either way, I'm having a real good time, and
what
it's very
sounds
weird.
Like a David Lynch type thing, like yeah. Twin Peaks, like in a vibe, like a
what a great show.
Just a weird vibe.
A similar tone to Twin Peaks. It feels like you ever wake up at like 3 a.m. and then just stay up. Or like,
yeah,
like it's that specific, yeah. Like
fever dream almost.
Yeah, that's the tone of the whole game, and it's really awesome that it captures that so well. But it's so that like 4 a.m., 5 a.m. before sunset, but too light for it to still be dark, and it's just quiet everywhere.
Mm.
That's the whole tone of Kentucky Road Zero. Yeah, so
I hope to one day experience that with you, Alex.
Mm. Yeah, hopefully next year. That's the plan.
We'll wake up and just admire the weird twilight hour.
Mm. All right. Imagine waking up to a boss burrito at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Imagine.
I just want to wake up to a boss burrito at any time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But that's several of the games I've been playing.
Wow. Say, you done yakking, Alex? Jeez.
I'm exhausted. I want to skip eShop Roundup.
I was
going
to say, yeah, what's next?
Nope.
We're going straight to poll time, and
what
then
are
I'm
you talking
going
about?
To bed.
We're not skipping. We've never skipped it. Before,
what
so.
Is the eShop Roundup? Who's to say? But should maybe we'll find out after
break?
This musical break. Shut up, Jerry. Alrighty, we are back, baby. Babies. There's a couple babies here.
Mm-hmm. Couple baby Balix.
Baby,
you would be
baby boy Balix.
You would be the grandpa.
Yep. Get off my lawn, dang it.
I'm the uncle.
Josh asked a very good question in the Discord. Just as we were starting to record this. He said, Perry and Casey, when will you guys finally adopt Alex Triple B Calafi as your son?
Once he starts raking in the money.
Better Business Bureau needs some video game parents.
I'm going to need Alex to take on full responsibility me when I'm old and can't walk. And that might be sooner rather than later. So
when you're 90 and I'm 87.
Anyway, we're not adopting him.
Yep.
Yep.
I can't.
But I guess I've been waiting for Alex to actually cancel this, but I guess we're just going to go ahead with the eShop Roundup.
The new eShop Roundup. Eehaw!
Oh, what's this one?
My favorite part of the week, boys.
Every week.
He's been waiting. Now, Alex, this little segment here is where we take a peek at the eShop and look for games that we think look promising. And then we give a little discussion about it. We say how much the price is, and then we move on. Mm-hmm. So I know that's a foreign concept for you. You've only done it like once, I think. But we are here. We're strong, and we're going to play a little eShop Roundup game. Jerry, would you like the honors?
I would like to start it off, actually.
You're foaming at the bit.
I'll show Alex how it's done. But I also will probably flub it up as well.
What are we doing, the new rules or the old rules? What
nope,
are we doing?
We're keeping it OG style.
Just pick out a game, Alex.
All right.
My pick of the week is Kingdom Two Crowns. Norse Lands edition. So
I was gonna say, I was like, didn't this game come out like a real long time ago?
I know. Well, they just had a big DLC update thing now, and if you guys could see it on your end, Case, because I think you've bought it too. But
yeah, I think I haven't.
It's the bundle is right here because you can for $24.29. I own it, so I don't really. Okay, so. I've purchased Two Crowns, and then the DLC is only $6.99. So I think it's $19.99 and then $6.99. So I don't know if there's a discount or something, but this is a really pretty update, and you can see the game. I mean, like really, it's obviously takes place in the Norse regions, but there's a lot of different updates to it. I haven't played Kingdom since Two Crowns came out. And Jill and I just marathoned when I reviewed that game. And Alex, this is one of my favorite indie games of all time. This is when I was debating when you were doing the thing. But Kingdom is... Have you played it before?
No, but it sounds so familiar. I'm looking it up now.
It is a fantastic game. Really fun. And I think it's on Game Pass.
Jerry loves
really,
this game.
Really, really like...
This is Jerry's Hollow Knight almost, right?
Yeah. Okay, so Kingdom,
very fun
strategy, yeah.
Strategy, side scrolling. I mean, there's tower defense elements. It goes on a day night cycle. You protect your kingdom from invading attacks, and you're trying to figure. You go out and you hire people, but it's done oversimplified, which is Jerry style. So there's no menus. There's no like. Anything. I mean, like it's all basically just like context sensitive, like walk up to something, press A. And that's kind of everything. I mean, by design, obviously. And it's really pretty, and it has I couldn't put it down. And the first game is like a roguelike in a way. You play, it's a long one where like, you play through island to island, but then if you die, you die. And the Kingdom Two Crowns is the same thing, but you can restart on the island. So if you get past the next one, you can restart it. So it's a lot better. And I always tell people, I don't know which one to start with, because it's like, if you play the second one, it might ruin the original one for you. So I love the original one. It's just back when I had time to play video games, then
yep.
I don't know if I could have that time anymore. But anyway, Norse Lands is out. Looks really cool.
Boom. All right, my game. I've got a little game here. I'm going to try and pronounce it. Iridium. I-R-I-D-I-U-M. Iridium? Iridium?
Something I'm like rid that. Of him.
Get rid of him! And that's what Alex is saying about this segment, but we say no. Iridium is $11.99. This is a little side-scrolling shoot-em-up game. And, I always love a good shoot-em-up. But I will say, just looking at it, it was giving me Nano Stray vibes.
I think this is a Nano Stray game, isn't it?
I don't
think
so.
I've heard of that. I mean, it's I'm trying to find it. Where, is it far down or is it?
No, it's relatively new in the new releases. But yeah, I like
okay.
Nano Stray. I think was more of a like vertically scrolling game, and it was a little more three. Like, I haven't played it in
I
so
know
long.
I've, isn't this?
This is
I
a side
swear
scrolling.
There's an Iridium game on like the GBA or something, but I guess there isn't. Yeah. Anyway,
I don't know. But looking at it, it definitely feels like yeah, going on like a Nano Stray, that kind of game. And man, I remember back in the day getting Nano Stray for DS because it was like, they're going to stop making it. It's going to be super rare. And I remember like getting in on the hype, but it was also actually just a super fun game. Nano Stray. Mm-hmm. Let's see how much actually out of curiosity. Nano Stray 2 for the DS is that pretty penny, but I think I got the first one, which is dirt cheap, but not really dirt cheap, you know, but yeah, not worth the penny. But yeah, it totally, you know what it is, sort of like the neon colors with the space shooter is definitely sort of the vibes that I'm getting from it that are reminding me of Nano Stray. But yeah, I always love a good shoot 'em up, and you know, I haven't talked about a shoot 'em up in a while because we haven't been able to do this beautiful segment.
Thank God.
Yeah. All right. You figure out a game yet? He's like, I don't even know what the eShop is.
Fellas, I have a doozy for you guys today.
Is
actually
it Cabin Fever?
No.
Just going to say that.
It's one I... It's one I've wanted to talk about since I knew it existed.
Real quick, before you get into the game, Cabin Fever, an off-grid cabin, a tech-savvy loner.
That's Balix.
Is that not Balix?
Yeah, I'm a loner.
A tech-savvy loner.
That would be me. I would be happily living in a cabin if I had Wi-Fi, you know?
Okay.
But anyway.
I've wanted to talk about this one since it came out at the beginning of this month, but there hasn't really been an opportunity because I haven't played it. This game's called Popeye, and it is an officially licensed Popeye game that came out new, $12.99, from a company called Sabic, which is makers of such games as Fight, Spy Alarm, and Calculator.
Right, oof. Right.
A couple of hard hitters.
They make a ton of shovelware on the Switch. And, like, if you look up the games that they make, I'm not being offensive to a struggling developer. They're putting out, like, they put out a $10 scientific calculator. They put out a Mortal Kombat ripoff that doesn't seem to run very well.
I mean, if you think about it, if it's, like, a Texas Instrument-style calculator, that's a good price.
This is, like, a 3D platformer?
It's a 3D platformer that looks... like it was made in about a week,
with like a hangman thing.
I've watched footage of it. It's what it's trying to be is a 3D arcade game where you're in like three different open worlds. You're trying to collect hearts. You're trying to save Olive Oil and defeat. I think his name's called Brutus in this game, but it's Bluto.
both great names.
Look up footage of Popeye Switch on YouTube. Everyone listening to this, and
you know what's
and
funny is the what do you call it, the image that you first see is actually really cool, like the, you know,
it's nice art.
That banner image is really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks official and cool, and then you look at the game and it looks like, you're right, it looks like a tech demo.
It looks like a. GameCube-esque? I'm sure the textures are higher quality.
I was going to say, like, N64-esque in terms of, like, how bare it looks.
This is officially licensed, too. Or it has to be. Unless the... Popeye... This Popeye can't be in the public domain, right? I know Popeye's really old, but this is...
It does... I do see Popeye with, like, the little registered R circle, you know what I mean? Like, next to it?
The official Popeye game. Okay.
There it is.
Unless you play the spinach-eating sailor. Look up footage of this. Like, I've seen maybe 20, 30 minutes of footage of this since it came out, because I'm so fascinated by how you get an officially licensed game based on a well-known property with a game made by Shigeru Miyamoto as part of its legacy.
Yeah.
I think Miyamoto. And then, like, you just, the game that comes out is this $12.99 piece of junk
Well, I was going to say, you actually can look, like, the Popeye for NES looks like it's more fun.
Yeah, which, is that available yet?
I'm not sure, but I will say, I think you're missing the spirit of the Nintendo eShop Roundup we're having here. Usually we pick good games. This guy's highlighting a turd.
No, this is great. No.
No, it is pretty good. I'm watching video now. The floating hearts.
I love that it's just called Popeye.
Yeah.
Straight to the point.
And then the one funny thing, I think it was the last eShop Roundup we did 7 months ago. Yes, or
before you joined the show.
Before I was born. No, so Perry, you remember I talked about a game, Busta Fellows? It was like that super anime game that we spent like 10 minutes on. So I go to Open Critics like every so often to see what reviews games are getting. And Busta Fellows is like the second highest rated game of the year in their Hall of Fame 2021.
That's amazing.
Interesting.
That's my eShop Roundup.
There it is. And that is the eShop Roundup, guys. It's glad to be back. I know people, they've been listening and waiting for that jingle jangle.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm.
Now, that's not the end of the show, because we've got something else, don't we?
Poll time!
Let me see your poll, Alex.
Poll results time.
Okay.
Settle down.
What?
Let's all just relax.
I'm just trying to see your poll that you got ready for us each and every week.
Well, Casey, I'm a monogamist. You know that.
Yep. You're not married yet.
And neither am I, Casey thinks to himself.
Yep. It could be a match made in heaven. We just don't even know about it yet.
Anyway, should I go along? Or you guys want to?
Nope, we don't want to see your poll, Jerry. Get out of here.
All right, this week's poll time is a poll that's a follow-up on last week's sort of open prompt, where I was asking about indie games because there was the eShop sale coming up. Because
he's addicted.
I asked, how much money in U.S. dollars did you spend on Nintendo Switch games during Black Friday? And I not just the Friday itself, but any of those cyber deals, Black Friday, holiday sales,
cyber
whatever.
Monday.
You know what a Black Friday sale is, and it shows up usually 2 weeks in advance. But yeah, the options were $0. B was between $1 and $50, between $50 and $150, and more than $150. And we got 114 votes. Casey, where did everything sort of come out?
All right. The cookie crumbled. I will go from the lowest vote to the highest vote. So clocking in with people voting with more than $150, we got 4.4% of the votes. So you got to think 114 votes. That's at least six or seven people probably spent 150 plus, which is crazy. Between $1 and $50 clocked in at 18.4% of the vote. Between $50 and $150 was 24.6%. And then with the overwhelming odds here with $0, 52.6% of the vote. And I didn't vote on this, but I spent $0 as well.
That's what I voted on.
I can see.
Vote on it?
Yeah. No, I forgot.
What's the matter with you?
I like to hear from the folks. They can hear my opinion right here.
Don't worry. I got
enough. I ain't trying
to
sway it.
You just said you forgot. And then
I'm going to edit that out.
I got enough for everyone. Don't worry.
Were you one of the more than 150 peeps?
If we're just talking Nintendo, it'd probably be about 50 to 150. If we're talking everything combined, it'd be more than 150. Because I did my Game Pass Ultimate restock because they were on sale for $25 for 3 months. Normally it's $45. So I ended up getting 9 months of that. So that was 75 immediately, but it's sort of just something I do every year now.
Mm-hmm. So you're one of them suckers, eh?
Quite literally the opposite.
I'm getting the good prices.
No, and then multi-platform games, I bought a couple. Riders Republic, the Ubisoft like extreme sports game. That was $25. That was Amazon, I think. And then Life is Strange, the new one, that was $15 at Walmart. I use a deal site now called Deku Deals.
Yep, I've used that site too.
price alerts. But when it comes to the Switch, let me tell you what I got. I got, I mentioned Kentucky Route Zero, A Short Hike, Tales of Iron. I got Tumblestone for $2. That was a nice deal. That's a addictive little puzzle game. I got Stardew Valley. That wasn't on sale, but I got eShop credit because those were on sale, so I just got that. I got Blaster Master Zero, which I know Perry really likes.
That's a great game.
Yeah. How long is that one?
They're usually not super long, right? Yeah.
So like a standard, slightly shorter than average Metroidvania?
Yeah.
Okay. Gorogoa, which is like a puzzle game. Gris, G-R-I-S, which I think also got like a 10 on Nintendo World Report.
Yep, I played a little Gris. Yeah, I've heard a lot. Yeah,
it's
that one.
Gris, I think is how it's pronounced.
And then I ended up having GameStop credit from some recent trade-ins, and one I really wanted but wasn't on sale was The Binding of Isaac Afterbirth Plus.
So good.
Such a gross name.
It's such a gross game, but also probably the most fun I've had with a roguelike lately.
It's amazing. That game is incredible.
How many hours have you cracked into it, Casey?
I wouldn't be able to tell you, but I definitely, when it came out, because I'm pretty sure I have it physical.
Games you picked up.
When I was a collecty boy back in the day. I've played a ton of that because it's just like perfect, I feel like, as far as a roguelike goes, like, because each run is different enough that like it's like just fresh, you know what I mean? Like, oh, this is the weapons I'm rolling with this time, and like, and I've gotten some absolutely bonker combinations where you just feel like a wrecking ball, you know, and then sometimes it's a struggle. Honestly, that game is super duper fun. I should really bring, like, maybe I'll bring that with me on my trip. That's a fun game.
I've only played like a couple hours, but I've had a blast so far. And then a couple of the sort of listener ones, Grizzle Von Sizzle said, finally picked up Astral Chain on sale. Heck yeah. Lockjaw got,
I think Estuardo got that Astral Chain as well.
Yep, he did. Lockjaw got Neo The World Ends With You, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2, and Kirby Star Allies. Brent got Tony Hawk. Outbreak Monkey got Xenoblade Chronicles for himself. Yeah. Lego Harry Potter for his son and girlfriend. Cruisin' Blast for me and my son. Plus Alan Wake and Guardians on PS5. So I a lot of people are experiencing Guardians of the Galaxy right now, and that makes me happy because that's a really good one.
As I say, Lego games are almost always rock solid too. At least the games I've played. Block solid.
But if you get Guardians, get it on a non Switch console.
Get it on something that can play it.
I feel bad.
Good hint.
I feel bad for Danny. Vivens, because
he's a cheater.
He's cheater.
No, I think it's him on Twitter who I saw get both the cloud version of Guardians of the Galaxy at full price and the GTA trilogy.
Oh, yes. That poor man.
And that's a hard double hit,
Danny,
to get.
Boy. The pipes are calling.
Japan's son.
Yeah.
All right. But that's all for this week. Look forward to the next poll time.
All right. Alrighty. With that's the end of the show, everyone.
Jared's got to eat.
I got to eat. You can find us over on Twitter at Talk Nintendo Pod. That's Talk Nintendo.
P-O-D.
Oh, shoot. And then you can find us over on Discord.
Oh, shoot. The stinger
there. You can get the R, Perry.
Okay. Okay. The R. Oh, good.
Not if
good.
I get it first.
find us. We have a Discord. You can look at the link in our podcast or on our Twitter. Talk Nintendo Podcast. And you can find us on Patreon at Nintendo World Report on Patreon at Nintendo World. No, at patreon.com/NWR. That's patreon.com/NWR. And also, before we go, make sure to send us, if you can,
all your money.
Us, You can rate us on iTunes.
Personally. Or on whatever Casey's address is.
Yeah. My Cash App and my Venmo.
Yes. Please give Casey some money. Yeah. But no, rate us on all the podcatchers and give us 5 stars. We'd appreciate it.
That'd be a great Christmas gift for all of us.
That would be great. And you can tell your friends about this really cool Nintendo podcast you listen to.
And you don't even need to mention about Alex joining the show. I know that might scare him away. They'll figure it out. But get him in the door first.
Exactly.
They're going to be like, oh, the show's too political now.
Yeah. What's this, an unprepared gentleman? No thanks.
What's the cybersecurity guy doing in here?
I only like complete preparation.
Says the guy, yeah.
I know, it's funny that, like, Alex is the most prepared of all of us. And he has another podcast called Three Unprepared Men.
I would say, well, first off, this is a guy who had to look up his eShop game on the fly. So I don't know how prepared he actually was. But just because he's got a fancy schmancy doc doesn't mean I'm not prepared.
Agreed.
Yeah, and on Three Unprepared Men, another podcast available now. There's also, I also do complete preparation for each episode.
He's a prep man.
Beautiful.
So,
right, everyone. Well, check out all the podcasts.
Every
podcast you listen to, you should leave a nice review for them. Just so you know.
Unless if it's competitive Nintendo casts, in which case one star.
I'm a gourmand.
Casey is better at video games than me, and at all times, and no matter what he's doing.
It's-a me, Aquario!